Now, there's some present at the time who told Jesus about the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mentioned for sacrifices. Jesus answered, "Do you think that these Galileans were worse sinners than all the other Galileans because they suffered this way? I tell you, no. But unless you repent, you too will all perish. For those 18 who died in the Tower of Siloam fell on them, do you think they were more guilty than all the others who lived in Jerusalem? I tell you, no. But unless you repent, you too will all perish." Then he told this parable. A man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he went to look for fruit on it, but did not find any. So he said to the man who took care of the vineyard, "For 3 years now, I've been trying to look for fruit on this tree, and haven't found any. Cut it down. Why should I use up the soil?" "Sir," the man replied, "leave it alone for one more year, and I'll dig around it and fertilize it. If it bears fruit next year, fine. If not, then cut it down." This too is the word of the Lord.
Aslan is a lion, the great lion. Oh, asked Lucian.
Safe, said Mr. Beaver.
Don't you hear what Mr. Beaver tells you? Who said anything about safe? Of course he isn't safe.
But he's good.
The notion that my God may be wild, untamable, uncontrollable, was something that unsettled me for many years as my faith turned over and matured. I wanted to be able to control this God of mine, to pray my prayers and have him answer them the way that I wanted them to be. Many of us have probably experienced the same desires just to enjoy the God of your thumb. Safe in a way that you can control outcomes, I wanted to make my world make sense. I didn't want to know about the great tragedies that appeared locally, nationally, and internationally. My faith was wanting to be safe. But Henry Nouwen called me, in a department's writing, called me to a different type of thinking, a reminder that the inner journey of the heart is a very difficult road. To move closer to God and travel inward, that's a dangerous business. To think you can control God is nothing short of idolatrous. As Noah finally stated, we are always unprepared for what we're going to experience as we journey into the inner terrain. Later in life, when I picked up the audiobook, in my mid-30s, after a series of ups and downs in my own life, that same question came back, storming to me, as I am, and Christ. He wasn't safe, but he was good. I hope you can be encouraged as you wrestle with whatever place you're in today, about the idea that emerged in what C.S. Lewis stated in another place in his writing, that Christianity, if false, isn't one of those. If it's true, it's an infinite of immortals. The only thing it cannot be is moderately important. Today's text, as we look into it, finds ourselves in the middle of a large portion of Scripture where Jesus is talking about judgment, repentance, and what to do after that. The world of Jesus was full of individuals that understood the urgency of the world around them, politically, economically, socially, spiritually. The text today is part of a large discussion that began in chapter 12. Finishes where we left today. This is a section composed of sayings and parables that are drawn together from a topic of judgment. Today's reading lands us at the end of this, where individuals that listen to Jesus' teaching and instruction and are now pressing him on other topics. Just prior to this, there's a section that draws out the notion of hypocrisy. People in Israel who are persecuted and marginalized, who are seen by a newspaper, the governing Roman state, they want action. They look around them, they see signs. They think these signs are something else. They think these are signs of deliverance from the oppressing powers around them. Rich tribute and justice coming their way. Jesus teaches them something else. He says to them, in just a few verses before the text we read today, he says, you look up at the sky and you see the clouds coming. Or you look to the south and you feel the winds bellowing. You know rain's coming, you know heat's coming. But you're not wise enough to know what's going on with your neighbors. You can't control the weather, but you can control your actions. You can control some of the outcomes in your own life. You'd rather look to the skies and the cosmos, think that you can see and control those things. Meanwhile, neglect the fact that you can actually control relationships around you by addressing things that need your addressing. So it is within this context that others approach Christ. And at the beginning of chapter 13, Christ is asked about these signs that are going on in church. sacrifice, people in Jerusalem killed tragically when a tower fell on them, Jesus throws a question to them for meditators. Do you think for some reason these people were worse sinners than you? He stops and then says, now is the time to repent. Jesus then tells this parable that was spoken to us a few minutes ago. A parable for some of you that may seem a little uneasy, because the answer isn't revealed, as Jesus often does that, doesn't leave the story finished. He talks about an absentee landowner, one that's very familiar to the land, somebody who doesn't quite often frequent his own orchard. He comes and he sees a tree that remains on America, an apple tree, if you will. The owner goes to the gardener and says, this tree has been here for 3 years. It's no use. Its time is done. Cut it down. It's taking up valuable space. It's taking up valuable resources. It's of no use anymore. Time for it to go. The gardener says to the owner, wait a second. Give it one more year. Just one more season, one more chance. Let me tend to it. Let me dig around it. Let me fertilize it. Let me care for it for one more season. And let's see what happens. The thing we don't want in this message is our own need to take responsibility for our actions, to repent, to move through those times of need when we need to right ourselves in the eyes of God. For any other take on the scripture, his portion, would be lacking in this day. We have heard again the scripture reference, and Amanda so brilliantly spoke to the children about the need of repentance, and that idea of turning around. And the ancient Greek word metanoia comes to mind. It denotes the themes of repentance. It communicates a change of mind or turning around, 180 and heading in the opposite direction. This is the hope to reorient our own thinking and turn around. This is done in the hope that we are planted deep in the grace of God, that the God that would do anything and everything possible to provide opportunities for us to know peace. Peace that comes with repentance. But at the same time, there is a sense in this passage of urgency, of now. This kept me thinking this week as I was wrestling with this passage, that as much as this is about repentance, this is also about time. This is about understanding time, as we in our Western mindset sometimes misread scripture through it. Timepiece. A watch. Seconds, minutes, hours that need to be filled. We see time as a commodity in our society. We're all on a time schedule. We need to be productive. A business deadline, an educational deadline, a relational deadline, a spiritual deadline. No time to waste. No time to spare. This job isn't meeting my needs, so it's not worth my time. This relationship doesn't meet my expectation, not worth my time. It's a dangerous but prevalent thought for the time in which we live. We have a complicated relationship with time, and it often clouds our understanding of what God wants us to achieve as followers. It is true, we want progress in our society, but we're all familiar with the adage, that if you find yourself deep in a hole, the first thing that you should do is stop digging. C.S. Lewis had his own comment about this. He says, if you find yourself on a wrong road, progress means doing an upturn and walking back to the right road. In this case, the person who turns back soonest is the one who's most progressive. I raise this thought to encourage any of us on this London walk to look out at life conclusion of this sermon, what am I writing in the writing of his predecessors, that I need to think of the word repentance in a very different way. Yes, the need to be right with God is important, but it's also to live right with God that we need to concern ourselves with. We are serving God in the now. God's will for our life together as a church is not to see this as a tightrope that we must fear falling off of left or right, but as many times we've heard before, it's a playground. Stay on the rope in the sense of tightrope. You may be safe as long as you don't veer to the left or to the right. This causes us some tension, I'm sure. Make one wrong move and it's all over. No hope of getting back to safety. But with this tightrope mentality, we understand that this is not the will of God for our lives. The will of God for our lives is a little bit more freer. Yes, the playground has boundaries. Yes, the playground has rules. However, within the boundaries, there are many, many more choices. There are many, many more directions. There are many, many more areas to be led. We can trust God to warn us if we are somehow heading off to disaster. There's no need to be afraid of the playground. We will probably have a few bumps and bruises along the way. All this will fall in its grace. At one time or another. This is a normal part of growing up. We may get busted up a few times. It doesn't always mean that we're not living in the will of God. This is just a part of living in an imperfect world. Understand that we are on a playground means resetting the idea of time in our own minds. Some of us may be familiar with the two contrasting ideas of time in Scripture. Those two ancient Greek words of chronos and kairos. The idea that time are those seconds that take by, those measurable dates on a calendar. The kairos is an ancient understanding of right time. A time set apart, an opportune time. A time such as this, a time to raise a child, a season to see, a season to test a relationship for a rite of passage from immaturity to maturity. Reclaiming a sense of God's sense of time will help us flourish in the place in which we've been planted. Again, I want to bring that one into this. Time's complicated relationship needs to be rethought. Time needs to be converted from chronos time to kairos time. An opportunity for a change of heart. The spiritual life is a formative process in which time slowly loses its opaqueness and becomes transparent. To start seeing that the many events of our lives are not obstacles to a full and meaningful life, but the way to life itself, the real experience of a conversion. It is amazing that through our various stages of life, we are so consumed by the sense of time. How much we have, how little we have, who we spend it with, who we don't spend it with. Again, if we can change that mentality of time away from a commodity and see it as a gracious gift from God, we start to ask the questions about the time. Like a landowner in a parable who demanded that the tree be cut down because it wasn't meeting his understanding of time, we need to see it and reclaim it as a curious time. Time that's thought of, and reflected of with wisdom, compassion, peace. Time that matures, nurtures, and develops. Time that seeks understanding, genuineness. Time that requires us to repent and embrace another season of our life. And for some of us, a second chance, or a third chance, or a fourth chance. To hopefully see what God has in store for us next. Let us remember this also, that not to get too busy looking at everyone else's root system and fruitfulness, but to keep in mind ourselves as well in this garden. To keep in mind that when we evaluate others, we often neglect to evaluate ourselves. We are full of victory ourselves, living in God's grace. That garden is the gracious mercy. It is the gracious mercy of God Himself. The journey inward isn't always safe. Gaining wisdom and insight often has very valuable, sometimes costly lessons. And those who wish to follow in the footsteps of Jesus and charge with witnessing to a world that is not always an easy place to live, the results are not in our control, or they're not even for us to know. No, they are not safe. But the spiritual life often offers more than safety. It offers abundant life that transforms all moments of time into windows of time through which invisible mercies of God become very visible. The journey to God is Lenten season. It is insane.